Turn your Bible to chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, please. Chapter 10, book of Hebrews. As I was putting this sermon together the last couple of days, time to time I had this mental brick wall I face. If you teach Bibles or you prepare something, sometimes you may face the same problem. I couldn't come up with a opening sermon illustration. Even though I knew what I'm going to teach, this just I was not getting it. So I asked a question to the friends on my Facebook. The question was, what is the one thing you have to do over and over again and you feel like that you are not going anywhere? Almost instantly, a friend of mine from Indiana answered me with one word, boat. I thought, yeah, that's about right. No kidding, in the last 7 years, we did not have one good presidential candidate for the conservative, the one who speak our heart. And you may say, well, what about the George Bush or what about George W. Bush? And then I look at the candidate for the Senate and the congressman. It's like, this is the choice I have. It's a lesser of two evils. When you have to do something over and over and again because you don't have a good material to work with, you know it's not going to accomplish anything. That means you end up doing the same thing again and again. To present a sacrifice in the temple in the ancient Jerusalem, you have to have three elements: priest, temple, also known as sanctuary, and sacrifice. And you may ask, wondering, what's that got to do with the opening illustration? I'll get there. In chapter 5 through chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews, we learn that Jesus, our chief high priest, was superior to any human priest because he is high priest in order of Melchizedek. Not like Aaron or his descendant who were in order of Aaron, another sinful human being. In chapter 9, we study about the sanctuary because the earthly sanctuary was a copy of the heavenly sanctuary. It's not as good as the heavenly sanctuary. In chapter 10, the author of the book of Hebrews is about to tell us regarding atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is the superior to all the imperfect sacrifice that were offered to God under the Old Covenant. There it is. The Old Covenant sacrifice was not good enough to take care of our sins. So they had to do it over and over and over and over each year. And as a matter of fact, each time a person sinned, they have to bring the offering to the Lord. We'll start at verse 1 of chapter 10 in the book of Hebrews. Let's stop and pray. Father, we are most grateful for your Son, his atoning sacrifice. Though he was sinless, he took our sins, not just one, all of it, once and for all, that we may have a life freely and life fruitfully, and all our sins wiped away clean, as Isaiah, prophet Isaiah declared, and our sins wiped away and clean, white as snow. Because of his crimson blood, crimson red blood, Father, that flowed from the cross to this cursed ground, Father, there's no one else could take away our sins, not our good work, not our good behavior, nothing on this earth. Father, we are thanking you for your son's sacrifice. Let us remember that there's no other way to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that President Obama may come to know Christ. You speak to him whatever it takes. And we also pray that you put the hedge of protection around our law enforcement personnel and firefighters and our troops around the world. Keep them safe. And for those who are away from their homes, from their family, we are asking you to bring them back safe and sound. While they are away from their families, they may draw near to you, come to know you. That is in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for our law enforcement personnel every day. It seems there is a new fad going on, cop haters. And when you look at them, majority of people who hate cops are the criminals, former criminals, or a lot of them are into that thing. Am I saying that all the cops are good? No, I know better. But majority of them are good people. They just like to go home in one piece. Verse 1 of chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Note the word image, please. Can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offered continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipper, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. Some of your version says guilt feeling. And in those sacrifices, there are a reminder of sins every year. And it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats who could take away sins. All of you ladies have a cookbook, at least one cookbook at home. Next time, when your hubby is irritable because he's hungry, pull out your cookbook and turn to the page that has the most scrumptious looking food photo and give it to him. Let him eat it. Now you have a husband who is hungry, irritable, and annoyed. Why is that scrumptious food photo not satisfying him? Because it does not help our hunger, it does not help give us nourishment, and it does not give us satisfying with the taste. It goes the same thing. The Old Testament animal sacrifice was merely pointing to the real sacrifice of God, the perfect sacrifice of God, as the food photo in the cookbook was merely pointing to the real food. Am I making sense? When the Old Testament priest prepared and sacrificed and presented the animal to the Lord, it was not something they just did at the whim. They had to do everything the way God prescribed. From the clothing they were wearing, the way they slaughter the animal, the way they present the animal, and every animal has a specific ritual they have to follow. Two sons of Samuel, or Aaron rather, decided, hey, we'll do whatever we want to do. They got drunk, and they decided they're going to light the fire however they want it. Guess what happened? Shafts of fire came down from heaven, and God burned them extra crispy. In verse 1 of chapter 10, we find the word image. In Greek, it is icon. Of course, we get the English word icon from this word, the Greek word, and the Latin word. It actually does mean portrait with a complete representation. In the Eastern Christianity, the Eastern Europe Christianity, they kind of put the saint portrays and they say pray to icon. That's wrong. You don't pray to any icon. That's a false image. You only pray to God the Father. Amen? All the sacrifice they did in the Old Testament, such as burnt offering, sin offering, trespass offering, meal offering, drink offering, and peace offering, they typifies, represent sacrifice of Jesus Christ and reveal some aspect of what Jesus did on the cross, as they describe in the book of Leviticus chapter 1 through 7. Then some of you have this question in your mind. Why were the Old Testament sacrifices not good enough? The Lord told them to do it, and they did it for hundreds of years. And thousands upon thousands of people brought their sacrifice with a sincere heart, and they were blessed. But the majority of people, the problem is not them. The majority of people brought their sacrifice with a vain heart, with idolatrous and disobedient heart. That goes into our situation. Besides, I find the two limitations with the Old Testament sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Number one, the laws of Moses could never make anyone perfect, as we read in verse 1. The cleansing was the ceremonial only. It worked only for outside conformity, but nothing in inner heart. Nothing in inner heart. Another limitation. The laws of Moses could never make anyone sinless. Permanent. As mentioned in verse 4. The evidence of that is finding, and no permanence, finding an annual sacrifice. If it was done once and for all, why would they have to bring another sacrifice year after year after year? Would you agree with me? It was not good enough. So whatever they did previously was not good enough, so they have to bring another one. And whatever we do, if we were there as an ancient Jew, it was not good enough for the next year, so we have to bring another sacrifice when we come back to Jerusalem. The Day of Atonement, known as Yom Kippur, did not accomplish remission of sin, rather reminder of sin. Because previously the year was not good enough. Yes, sin was covered. Sins were covered, but not forgiven. Chapter 10, verse 5, please. Now, we will find the sacrifices, all the Old Testament sacrifices that were prescribed will be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, a sacrifice and offering you did not desire, and body you have prepared for me. In burnt offering, it's not a barbecue that we do, like Paul said, but that's a real burnt offering, and sacrifice for sins they had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, the sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, and he may establish the second. Did you get that? Take away the first. You might want to jot down in the Bible, parenthesis, Old Covenant, parenthesis. And may establish the second. By that, will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all? The author of this book, quoting Psalm 40, 6 through 8, from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew original document, but using from the Greek version of the Old Testament. The wording is slightly different, but the same meaning as the original Hebrew text. from Psalm 40. Regardless, it is obvious that this verse applies to Jesus Christ in his incarnation, and he is the one who is fulfilling old covenant sacrifice. In verse 7, go back to verse 7, please. Verse 7, "Behold, I come in the volume of the books, it is written of me." Whether unbelievers want to admit it or not, this Bible is the most phenomenal book human ever had. Because this book, written for 1500 years, and by the 40 different authors from all walks of life, in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But Bible consistently has one theme and one central figure. Who would that be? Jesus Christ. It's been said, Old Testament prophesied the New Testament, and New Testament fulfilled the Old Testament. How is that possible? Because all these 66 books inspired by the one divine author, the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself. That's why everything is consistent. And some people say, those who don't know anything about the Bible say, well, all these Bibles are different. And I would like to ask them, where do you find that? You can pick up the... Some of you guys have a New Living Translation. Some people think that it's watered down. It is not. New Living Translation is not watered down. It just made it in our language, 21st century language. New International Version, the old New International Version, is an excellent thing. If you're using King James, more power to you. If you can understand what the and thou, all that has to think, good for you. Just don't shove that thing down to somebody else's throat. If you're reading the King James Version, New King James Version, that's wonderful. New American Standard Bible, very literal from the text, original text, good for you. They all speak the same meaning. Do you understand that? This little here and there wording difference is not an issue. I want you guys to notice the verse 6 and verse 8. There's three words. Had no pleasure. Note that. It doesn't mean the old covenant sacrifice were wrong and the sacrifice of the sincere believers of God were not, their sacrifice was not accepted by God. It, generally speaking, because as I pointed out, majority of sacrifice were done in vain. They brought it with a disobedient heart. Listen to me, please, folks. No amount of a sacrifice can substitute obedience. Amen. Did you get that? Let me say one more time. No amount of a sacrifice can substitute for your obedience. This applies to us. Many believers do this in Christian, they do their Christian routine. They come to church on Sunday morning, they go to midweek service, and they give a monetary offering to the church, and they work for the church voluntarily. All that is wonderful. But if you are doing them with a disobedient heart, with a disobedient lifestyle, whatever you are doing is in vain. Your sacrifice, your work, all of that, what you're doing is just to appease your guilt feeling? No, don't. By all means, don't do it. First, you make it right with God. Let me put it in a more practical way. If you're into pornography, if you're cheating your wife, you're cheating your husband, and you're doing all of that stuff, and now you come to work for church, and you're giving money to church, by all means, stop. Make it right with God first, then bring your sacrifice to God. Then it will be sweet aroma to you, God's nostrils. There is a great theology in verse 9 and 10. Let's go back. Verse 9 and 10. Let's read it one more time. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will. Jesus speaking to the Father, O God, he takes away the first and may, and that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. There's that theology called sanctification. It means what? Set apart. But set apart from what? From our own will and carnal and worldly influence. It is not, listen to me please, it is not isolation, rather insulation. We don't need to hide away at some monastery up in somewhere in the mountain or back in the forest to avoid the world. We can be where we are and not be influenced by the demonic and carnal and pure garbage from the world. And you may say, aren't you a little harsh? Really? Let me put it this way. Have you ever seen the Carl's Jr. commercial? You might as well be pornography. What's the half-naked woman got to do with a cheeseburger? I'd rather see the McDonald's and Burger King or the Jack in the Box guy munching, feeding his face with a cheeseburger, scrumptious cheeseburger. That I'll go for. That's the influence we are getting in. Jesus, who was 100% God, 100% human, had his own will to do if he chose. But he willingly discarded his will and followed God the Father's will. That's what we are supposed to do, to honor him, to follow him, to glorify him. That's the sacrifice of praise for us. Now, keep your finger in Hebrews, go to Romans chapter 12. And some of you guys, I knew what you would go there anyway. Yeah, it's one of my favorite verses. 12:1, please. 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God is not asking you to do something unreasonable. That's reasonable. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to know what the perfect will of God for you? Here it is. It's a black and white. Follow God. Now, do you see why the Jesus' own sacrifice is so much superior to the old covenant sacrifice? These animals did not have a choice. Actually, they were bred and they were chosen and they brought to the temple for sacrificial purpose. Then, against their own will, they were slaughtered. When I was talking about slaughtering last week, I was describing a little bit graphically, I guess, that nauseated a few people. Sorry, my bad. But don't ever think that an Old Testament sacrifice was a kind of, it happened, not sanctified in such a way in 21st century. It was gross. But for Jesus, He willingly did all this for us and died and overcame the death and rose again from the dead. That's why He is the perfect sacrifice of God for our salvation. Amen? Alright, verse 11, chapter 10, please. Back to Hebrews. And every priest stand ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. There it is. But this man, that's Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, once for all, and one for all, and three for all. There. Verse 13. From that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool, for By one offering, he had perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Instead of sacrifice after sacrifice, thousands upon thousands sheep and bulls during the Old Testament period, Jesus gave himself one atoning sacrifice for all mankind. As I said, once for all and free for all. Because he was a perfect sacrifice, there is no more sacrifice needed for anyone anymore. This is the one reason Jesus could declare, one of the many reasons Jesus could declare, it is finished on the cross. This brings a very important question to those who try so hard to find a favor from God with their good works. Some of the people think that, well, I'm a good person, maybe I should go to heaven because I'm good. Newsflash, no, you are not going. If his sacrifice was perfect and there is nothing for anyone to do, then, and let me go backtrack. Let me rephrase that. If his sacrifice was supposedly good, can there be another good one to add more? If there anyone can add more, the one Jesus did is not perfect. Am I making sense? It wasn't good enough so somebody could add. Colossians chapter 2, right before the First Thessalonians in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Be aware lest anyone cheat you through a philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of world, not according to Christ. For in him dwell all fullness of Godhead bodily. And you are what? Complete. That means you are not lacking anything when you have Jesus Christ. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. When we take, listen, please, when we take what man says as even near authority, to what God says, we are cheating ourselves, we are fooling ourselves. The false teachers in the time of the Church of Colossae did not go out lost, found the lost one. They simply spiritually kidnapped those who were converted into Christianity. Most of people, it happened the same thing. Most of the people I have talked with who are a member of a cult were one time or another, they were involved in the Christianity. I remember two Jehovah's Witness people who came to our home on one Saturday morning long ago. One of them told me that she was a Catholic nun. She gave up her Catholic to be a Jehovah's Witness. I thought, oh, you went from nun to nun. Okay, that's a corny joke. But because she think that there was salvation was not good enough by God. So she had to work it. I find two problems with that. How is it possible for false teachers to capture people? There are two reasons. Number one, these captives are ignorant of the truth of the Word of God. They are ignorant. Go to Hosea, please. It's in the Old Testament, way in the back. Hosea, right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 4. I'm sorry, verse 6. It says, my people, the believers of God, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? The Word of God. Because you have rejected knowledge. Listen, a grounded, growing, and grateful believers of God will not be led astray from Jesus. I found a little article, and I liked it, so I took it. Can you post it, please? If his spiritual roots are deep in Christ, he will not want any other soil. If the Christ is his sure foundation, he has no need to move. If he is studying and growing in the Word, he will not be easily enticed by the false doctrine. If his heart is overflowing with a thanksgiving to God, he will not even consider turning from the fullness he has in Christ. That's good, isn't it? You know what they say? The folks, don't look the other side. You have a fullness of Jesus Christ. Second limitation. These captives thought that they can earn their salvation from God. Guess what that is? Pride. How can you make it better when it is already perfect? Just as the devil fell from heaven because of his pride, humans continually sin against the Lord because of our pride. We cannot add anything upon God's grace. Go down to verse 15. Let's finish this. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he added, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is a remission of this, there is no longer an offering for sins. We can serve our Lord out of the cringing feeling of the failure to measure up. Or we can serve Him out of gratitude of the work of grace He can fully brought into our life. Listen, grace is a far, far, far superior motivation to guilt. The author of this book quoted out of this from Jeremiah 31, and he already used in chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews, and you were thinking, no wonder why it sounds familiar. Yeah, because we studied. But he is quoting it again because he wants you to remember God will not remember your sins if you confess to Him. Remember the last week's memory verse? Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. And there was shedding of the blood by Jesus Christ. Perfect sacrifice of God. Alright, let's make one application. The power of God's Spirit residing within us is sufficient for us to live life fully. Live life fully and to live life fruitfully and to live life freely, from the shackles of sins and from the slavery of legalism. Amen?